Hey folks, Tyler from Being This Person here. I hope this finds you and your loved ones healthy and as safe as possible out there. This is an episode that I recorded before time, before we were all stuck back when we could touch people and see people and such. So you'll notice that we don't actually talk about what's going on in the world at this particular moment when I release this. Hopefully it won't be forever. We touch on some things in the conversation that our conversations we're having now because of the situation we're in, but it didn't have any actual disease word in it. It was interesting listening back. It is an episode I did with a guy named Cody. Now, Cody is a guy I met through a family member of his, and I've known him for, I don't know, 10, 15 years or so. And he has gone from being kind of a snot-nosed, punky kid. He was still a great kid, but, you know, to becoming an amazing, introspective, and wise beyond his years young man. I'm very, very proud of him. And he's got a beautiful family, and I enjoyed his company and this conversation a lot. He really did a lot of sharing. I think you'll enjoy it. At this point, I would encourage you to subscribe and leave good ratings and reviews on whatever podcast feed you get us through. It's free. It helps. The more people that hear about it, the more people that will hear about it. It's this crazy thing about, I don't know. It's the way the internet and especially podcasts works. So, yeah, if you leave a good rating or review, that would be awesome. You can also contact me. I have an email, beingthisperson@gmail.com. It's all lowercase letters, no spaces, that being this person stuff. There's a website, beingthisperson.com. Again, no spaces, all lowercase. And Facebook, you can look up Being This Person, find me pretty easily that way too. Just look for the cover art. It's everywhere. I do have another thing. I have a Twitter, and it's kind of more of a personal Twitter. You get a little bit more about me. Like, I'll post a record I'm looking and listening to, or I posted a picture of some dandelions recently, I believe. Things like that. It's just a little bit more about me. So it is at Donis Tyler. So DonisTyler. Capitalize the D and the T in that, and you should be able to find me in the Twitterverse. And then there's the Patreon that I like to mention, and I have. Patreon is a subscription service where you can help creators make a little bit of money for what they're doing or creating. And right now, frankly, it's really important. To be honest with you, I'm still technically employed, so if you want to give money to somebody else to support them because they're totally reliant on their art, then do so. But right now it is a very, very important thing, and it's helping a lot of artists get through this interesting time when they can't work. So anyhow, it is patreon.com/beingthisperson. That's where you can find me. Obviously, anybody else that you want to find, you'll find them out there too. At this point, thank you, folks, especially those of you who do already contribute. But I appreciate each and every single one of you. Stay safe, and let's roll the theme music. First question is, who are you?
My name's Cody. I've lived in Eugene, Springfield for most of my life. I'm a family man, full-time. I work part-time on the side.
You're real lucky in that.
Yeah.
And what we were talking about last time we saw each other, how lucky. Both you and your wife are
Hell
lucky.
Hell yeah, man. I've been full-time parents for almost 5 years now. It's pretty cool.
It's unusual. It would take two of you. I don't think you could do it if you were just single.
I have a tremendous amount of respect for the people that make it happen while having to work full time just to pay the bills. But, it's definitely a two-person team. You know, my wife and I, we complement each other well in terms of parenting and support and all that good stuff. But yeah, almost 5 years, man. We're both blessed to have, you know, jobs that pay us well enough to hold down 25 hours a week, give or take, and, you know, about 7 days a week, majority of any given day, we're hanging out with the little guy, doing fun stuff, man, going to the gym, story time at the library, you know, swimming, parks.
Those are the best.
Hikes, everything, man.
God, I miss that.
Amazing.
Take it now, because there will come a time where your kid does not want you to go with them. They don't want to go where you want to take them.
Yeah. I try not to think about that.
Living that now.
You know, I mean, it clearly crosses the mind.
It's inevitable if you're doing the job correctly. Like, if your kid doesn't do that, you've not done your job. Like, your kid's supposed to want to go out on their own and be their own person and do their own stuff.
Absolutely. But I believe that you can also maintain a, you know, relationship throughout that time frame. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be like, hey, I can't stand you right now. You need to get the hell out of the house. You know, there are ways of, you know, hopefully making it happen in a healthy, wholesome type way, you know.
I absolutely believe there are, because my kid is out. Like, we're sitting in the artist formerly known as Oberon's room right now.
Yeah.
And he's doing a great job. And it's not that he doesn't fuck up. You know, we all fuck up. And it's not that he and I didn't fuck up in our relationship when he was living here. Like, we definitely had our moments on both sides where behavior was just out of hand, not correct.
Yeah.
But it rarely lasted very long, and the longest anybody ever left was to, like, walk around the block three times.
Sure.
You know?
Cool off.
Yeah, just take a breath.
It's healthy.
Yeah.
You know?
And so I absolutely believe you can do it. So
certainly.
Yeah, you can.
And we're all human, you know? We, like you said, all make mistakes.
Yep.
It's interesting, though. You know, just the dynamic that unfolds over time, you know. And in my mind, and certainly in our household, you know, we consider time to be our most valuable resource. You know, we decided early on, before our son Tyrus was even born, fuck the money. We can always go back to making some money, but for an unspecified amount of time, fuck the money.
Well, the money only comes in trade for your time anyhow.
Absolutely. And in most cases, it's not that fair of a trade anyway. So. You know, I'm not an attorney, but...
God's honest truth, you're right. Yeah. It's not a very even trade frequently.
Yeah, seriously, man. But, yeah, it's cool. It's a lot of fun.
So school's coming up.
Yeah.
Have you thought about what you're doing with school?
A little too much, to be honest. You know, we're...
Because you go private school, at least one of you is going back to work full-time.
Yeah, so I work in finance. My wife works in the medical field. I, early on, realized that we're not going to be making a considerable amount of money. You know, as rewarding as what we do will always be, you know, there is that aspect of not necessarily having to scrape by, but being particularly mindful of our spending habits and our savings habits and, you know, so on and so forth. Well,
good habits to work with.
Exactly. Yeah. And doing what I do, I took it upon myself to, you know, really, really dial down those, what were at the time, issues for us, you know. With that being said, I've gotten us to a place, I should say we, rather, my wife is very supportive, but she almost prefers to have nothing to do with the financial aspect of our lives, just because it's not really necessary. You know, we share information with each other when required, but as far as you know, budgeting and categorizing expenses and stuff like that.
It happens when you're a live together couple.
One or the other.
Yeah, exactly. Take up the larger part of the reins in the financials.
Certainly. And we take nothing for granted. You know, we always have at least 3 months of all living expenses ready to go in the event of an emergency. You know, if something happens. I mean,
I got a 401k I could cash in.
Right. And that's awesome.
And I got the
money
that I could pay for that it's going to take to do so. But right. Still.
Well, you know, it's the kind of thing.
It's like, strive for that.
It's like, this is what I want to do. Like, I want to be a dad. You know, I want to be there for my son. I want to be there for my family. You know, I'll be damned if I'm going to let corporate America fuck that up for me. You know what I'm saying? Nothing is secure these days. So in the event that something happens, as unlikely as it might seem, damn, we're ready. You know, I'm not going to let something like that jeopardize the arrangement that we've worked so very hard to obtain and maintain. You know,
right.
It's not easy work.
No, it isn't.
It's very challenging.
It's full time.
It's full time.
You don't get a moment, huh?
Dude. Yeah. It's. I mean, I've worked full time. I've worked overtime, and it does not compare to, you know, every second of every minute of every hour. You know, it's seriously tiring, man. Like, I'm 26. Some days I wake up feeling a hell of a lot older than 26, you know?
So that's the skateboarding.
Well, bless, you know? Yeah. Skateboarding, fighting, dude, all kinds of stupid shit. Oh, man.
So I was curious about the kind of bleak attitude where nothing is stable or guaranteed these days, which I absolutely agree with. It is admittedly kind of a bleak look. But where do you think that comes from? Like, do you think it comes from your history? Do you think it's a generational thing? Do you? I got my own thoughts, but I want to know what you
think. I don't know. It's hard to say where it comes from. You know, I think it really stems from experience. You know, observing, whether it's what you see on TV. You know, 200, 500, 10,000 people getting laid off within one company, whatever, you know what I mean? Personal experiences such as being let go from companies for virtually no reason, which, you know, looking back, there was probably one or two. But, you know, it's just that's kind of where we are as a society right now. You know, you can't work on paper, at least the average middle-class person, that's to say, you know, without signing an agreement that basically states you can be let go for almost any reason. You know, you don't need up to be canned, terminated entirely. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And I don't know, dude. I always had this dream, you know. It's like, if I get fired, I want it to be like Marty McFly Sr. in Back to the Future Part 2, you know, where he gets the big facts. And it just says fired. Yeah, well, we don't even get that courtesy anymore, man. We don't even get that face to face. It may as well be a text, and you know.
Right.
So, I'm just not even.
I'm glad I've never gotten fired by text.
Yeah,
that's a symptom of my generation.
That would really
text
suck
for the entire life, but that would really suck. That would really suck. I can't imagine.
You work in management, you know. It's not easy.
No.
That was probably a huge eye-opener, too, you know.
You took on a management position.
Oh, yeah, man, I had a great job, you know, working at this music store and making decent money, and my biggest mistake was stepping into management, you know. I worked for this tyrannical woman, to say the least. But, man, just was not in tune with my moral self, you know. I was having to do things and say things that wasn't my choice. You know, it wasn't where I wanted to be.
But you had to toe the party line. So
absolutely.
To do the job.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I'm willing to do the job, but Jesus, if you want me to be a corporate goon, give me another $5 an hour, motherfuckers. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. And I mean, to speak to that, I'm curious. My first experience in that situation, the way I read what you're saying, I'm going to tell a story just to make sure I understand where you're at. I think I got it. So my first experience getting promoted into an actual management job, like I've been head bus boy and, you know, that kind of shit, but sure. That's not management. But like getting into management where it was my job to make schedules and my job to help budget for the department I was working, that kind of shit. I got hired and somebody, one of the employees on my staff was at jury duty and had been for months. It was a straight up murder trial. So like it was, he was there forever. But he had had some attendance issues before going away.
Sure.
So, like, I meet him a week and a half before I was an assistant manager, before the manager leaves for vacation. Sure. And when they leave for vacation, I'm instructed that if he has even one slip with attendance, like, you can't be a minute late, I have to fire him. Because they've already done all that corporate documentation, you know, documenting shit. Of all this behavior, he's back at work for 2 weeks, like, and she goes, and it wasn't the third day that she was gone, that he was, like, 10 minutes late, and I'm sure it was just the MAX train in Portland or something.
Yeah.
But I had to, like, fire a dude, like, I've been a manager for 2 weeks and 3 days, kind of like the guy.
Absolutely. I mean, you basically just spelled it out. Yeah. It was a very similar set of circumstances.
Where this just doesn't feel right to me.
Good person, good employee, attendance issues, just as you've mentioned. And just up and out of nowhere, I was basically presented with the fact that I had to fire this employee, not only because he had what I would consider minor attendance issues, working in a music store, you know? I mean, you're working with musicians, number one. I mean, like, it kind of comes with
some
the territory.
Clear reliability.
Exactly. You know, but I was presented with the fact that it needed to be done just to ensure that I was capable of doing it, you know? And that's some tired bullshit as far as I'm concerned, you know what I mean? That's not cool.
I haven't thought back to see if it was a test from them, because I always just considered it a test from the universe. Like, you took this job, I was, what, 21, 22, maybe? Like, I was a child. I mean, that feels like a child to you, I'm sure. That's half my life ago, more than half my life.
Sure.
I was absolutely a child, and I think it was kind of a universal test. Like, Tyler, can you?
Absolutely. I mean, that's a great way to lay it down. I was 21 as well. I was new to fatherhood. You know, no one wanted this position. I think two or three people turned it down because everybody knew it was a bunch of bullshit.
Right.
You know?
Well, not to mention the musicians. Like, that's going to suck up a bunch of my time. I can't guarantee Friday night off for the gig or whatever, right?
You know, I'm not trying to dedicate my life to this company, especially not right now.
I just want cheap guitar strings.
They knew, man. They knew. It's like, this is the one person that will not turn down extra money because he doesn't have a choice. You know, and just to put it in perspective, I was managing upwards of 40 people, you know, throughout the various departments. Not directly, of course.
Right.
I had, you know, people to delegate to and all that. But at the time, it was a lot to deal with, you know. And I really didn't have a choice at the time. But fortunately, the next job, you know, where I am currently, I started out making, you know, considerably more than I was in a management position. Yeah, just entry level. So who's to say, man, it's all kinds of fucky these days.
I'm just now making the money I was in that job.
No shit.
That's really fucked up. It was a big company. And I was getting paid well, but I was putting in 60, 70 hours a week and commuting to Portland from Salem.
Oh.
Like,
man.
I mean,
yeah, dude.
But it was still, like, I was looking at an apartment in Portland, like, fuck this, that's the money I was making at the time.
Oh, hell yeah.
But anyhow, and whatever it is, it's growing pains.
Agreed.
It's growing pains.
It is, and I feel that, you know, one way or another it all works out, you know. If I had followed through, which of course I didn't, it didn't work for very long. I decided that I wanted to do other things and, you know, do more with music and all that. You know, if I hadn't taken that risk, then, you know, I would probably still be doing it, You know, I'm, that's not what I want to be doing full time. You know, like I said, I can always go back to making money and working overtime and doing all that. But right now, I need this time. You know, I need this
time. And again, soak it up while you got it.
Soak it up while you have it.
Maybe a year, and then at least half your day is gone. And then after that, you know, you're going to have 7 to 8 hours of your day where there's no longer anything to do at home.
True.
And
we're putting the pieces together, so to speak. You know, we're planning on expanding our family this year. And we're considering homeschool. You know, they don't do part-time kindergarten in Oregon anymore. And we're just a little reluctant to...
When the fuck did that change?
In 2015.
Yeah, I'm going to say it has to be, like, since 2004 or something.
Yeah, this is a relatively recent, relatively recent shift. And we were looking into all this and thinking, why? Why would this possibly change? That doesn't make any sense. Well, somewhere within, you know, one of many articles we were reviewing, there was the mention of, you know, a $10 million allotment for, you know,
all right,
whatever.
Well, I don't know if you've done your taxes yet, but Oregon gave us a kicker this year for having extra tax dollars.
Sure.
Tell you what, guys, you can have that kicker back, which means I'm going to owe you money again.
Mm-hmm.
But you can have the kicker back. Can we have kindergarten so we can have smarter people running around?
Hey.
I never have understood this whole thing.
It's out there, that's for sure.
It is something else.
And I'm an advocate for public schools, you know. I think the experience and the social aspect is important. But at the same time, how much time have you and I spent as adults unlearning the trifling bullshit that was fed to us while we were in school? You know what I mean?
Well, like, oh yeah, I would also argue that some of the things that I learned from the social aspects at school, I've not necessarily unlearned. I've learned to use them as tools rather than deficits.
Sure.
So, like, I'm sure you were not the popular kid. You got teased and all that kind of shit just like I did. And you and I, we've always had that kind of character in common.
We were probably asking for it most of the time,
so,
you know?
I did my fair share of asking for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, I also did my fair share of trying to stand in the corner and get out of the way so that I didn't ask for it, too. So,
it goes both ways.
That hasn't necessarily, in my opinion, at least the way I approach it, it hasn't been an unlearning. It's been an understanding that, A, you don't fucking treat people that way.
Mm.
And B, just like self-correcting when I catch myself behaving anything like that. Like, again, universal lesson. Like, this is a blanket lesson. Like, don't be the person that you fucking hate.
Absolutely.
And or that hates you more directly. I really rarely hated a person. I just... dick.
Right.
Prefer you weren't around.
Dude, absolutely. And honestly, I'm mostly being facetious. You know, unlearning is probably not the best way of describing it. But you definitely mold it in ways that aren't presented to you at the time, you know.
So this is a good way to lead into the next question.
Yeah.
Which is why? Why are you who you are?
I would say experience, you know, probably something that most of us can say when presented with such a question. You know, I had a pretty screwy childhood, like a lot of us can say, you know, and was fortunate enough to have learned from that and, you know, learned from the mistakes of others that I was surrounded by at the time, you know, adults, of course, but not always. And I think that that plays a pretty large role in, you know, who I am today and why I'm doing what I'm doing, and always work to be done, you know, never done working towards my aspirations, my goals, my dreams, you know, they change. As they always should, you know,
right,
we're
human
beings. We adapt relatively easily in some cases, of course.
Well,
but,
I mean, the argument is to be made that that's why we're human.
Yeah.
The species learn to adapt.
Absolutely.
We're the only species that doesn't require the climate to exist will live in any climate.
No shit. And, I mean, it really is. It's, you know, evolution on a much smaller scale, you know. I think we evolve as people, as we grow, clearly, you know. So, interesting stuff, but... Yeah, I think experience is definitely the biggest aspect in terms of why I'm here and why I'm doing what I'm doing, which is a blessing in and of itself. You know, I was caught up in all kinds of crazy shit as a kid. You know, we very well could not be having this conversation, and that would be not all that surprising, you know. Right. It's just a blessing that we can, you know, we can speak with each other and interact with people and
man, dig
be
that
who we
bit.
Are. Yeah.
If I go too far, feel free
no,
to say.
No, you're fine.
So, and this is for two reasons I want to dig at it. One, I met you kind of nearing the end of your real youthful exuberant craziness.
Yeah.
You were still in it, though.
Yeah.
And you're clearly not that person anymore. So, like, the change you've made in almost a decade, which is crazy to say that I've known you.
Yeah. That's wild.
That's wild.
Like, 15, 16, I feel...
Yeah, right in there. Like, I don't think you had a driver's license when I met you.
Probably not.
So the changes you've made over that time is one of the reasons I wanted to ask this question. But the other one is a little bit more about your youth, partially because you share a similar youth to my kid. In that there was, you know, missing parent stuff going on and a lot of that. And if you want to elaborate on either one of those and how that's brought you to where you are.
Well, my mother has some mental health issues. You know, they weren't clear to me at the time. You know, I was just a little kid. Obviously, life was good. But she, you know, got caught up with substances. And it ended up just, you know, blowing her mental health out of proportion, you know? I mean, it really did just change who she was entirely and who she was surrounding herself with. And, you know, all of the crazy shit that comes along with addiction and... Man, it's hard to say where to begin. I know we were, you know, in and out of housing. We were living in, like, cheap hotels. I remember living in an uninsulated barn with no windows for a short period of time. You know, no plumbing, man. Like, you piss in a bucket or you go outside, you know. Fortunately, it wasn't much longer after that, and I'm now skipping a lot of time here.
Which
probably,
is,
yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
I think you filled in the blanks.
Yeah, yeah, totally. We'll highlight a few things here. And it was about 7 when, you know, I remember sitting in a Toyota Tercel, man, looking back. I mean, ugly fucking cars, dude. But, man, those things were useful back in the day.
Some
of them
are still on the road.
Some of them are still moving, too. Yeah, it was like the light blue... The lightish blue color, yeah. Well, I remember sitting in the car with my mom and my stepdad at the time, and my mom was all fucked up, man. Like, she was too far gone at this point. And she told me straight up, she's like, I can't be your mom anymore. Like, this isn't going to work. I have things that I need to do, and you're going to go live with, you know, Pops, which was her dad, who, of course, you know.
Right.
That's how we met. And, at the time, that was cool with me. Like, I did not like being at home. You know, I had siblings that, from a very, very young age, you know, 4 or 5 years old, I was taking care of, you know, like, preparing meals for, you know. Wanted nothing to do with that household by this time. You know, it was always dark. You know, I remember mid-afternoon, you know, there was hardly any light in the house, you know, just really dark, depressing shit in general. But this was, like, great news to me. It's like, hell yes. Like, I'm out. This is good. You know? And that was pretty much it as far as my relationship with her.
How do you think that's, to bring it around a little bit, how do you think that's affected your desire to be there full time for your boy?
Oh, man.
Is that going through your head that maybe you learned how not to be?
It does. Yeah, absolutely. I think that I'm, you know, fortunate to have learned from a lot of those experiences, but, you know, at the same time, I'm still dealing with a lot of, you know, issues that have probably arisen from all that garbage, you know? They're challenges. I mean, I don't... consider it, you know, unfortunate or myself a victim or anything along those lines. I mean, it is what it is. You know, a lot of people have it a lot worse throughout their lives. And I think it's played a pretty big role in, you know, who I am and what I'm doing, just in terms of not wanting to be that person and trying to fulfill my role as a parent and do for my son what was never really done for me, you know. And it's cool. Like, I would much rather be in that position than not have ever had those experiences and not give any kinds of shit and just be working all the time or not enjoying the time I get to spend with my son and my family, you know. It's a blessing, it really is, because it comes back around one way or the other, and I'm totally content with, you know, vicariously reliving and experiencing my childhood in a way through my son's experiences. You know, and it's conflicting at times because I know what I need to be doing and when I need to be doing it for the most part. You know, I put a lot of thought into my role as a father and a husband. You know, with that being said, there is that inner conflict at times when I am left to sort out the mess that results from who I am on the inside and who I know I need to be on the outside. You know, when I was a kid, man, like, I was violent, I was high, I was drunk, you know, I was...
Yeah, and like, kid.
Kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, from the time I was probably 2, maybe 3 years old, from my understanding, you know, substance has been a huge part of my life, you know, and that's not the case anymore, thankfully. I have, you know, the self-discipline and the moderation to...
You've given up more things than most people
have. I've given up a lot of stuff, man, and that's okay. It's all for the better, of course, but there are times where it's like, man, you know, I'm having to present myself in a way that, you know, 10 years ago, as you well know, was not really an option for me. And so being met with that inner conflict, for example, I was at the a bar drinking with some colleagues a few months back, and up and out of nowhere, this guy just starts flapping his gums, you know, wants nothing but trouble, man.
Yep.
Two guys, like, I right off the top was like, all right, you know, these guys want me to step outside and, you know, catch some hands.
You still got enough of that look to you where they can single you out in the crowd.
Oh, yeah.
And go, this guy will give us the riot we're
looking for. And absolutely. And I don't mind, man. Like, I have always had an interest in a good fight, you know. I'm like, I'll catch some hands, man. I've, at times, gotten this sick kick out of getting hit in the face, dude. You know, like, yeah, let's do this some more, you know?
You should take up Muay Thai or something.
Something, man. I've considered it, truly.
You really should.
But,
I've got a buddy that he goes diligently to a gym that he's really pleased with. Remind me off mic. I'll give you...
I will. Yeah, I will. That sounds cool. I've honestly considered it. I think about it relatively often, you know, just to be able to have that kind of outlet. I can't really skateboard anymore. If I break any more bones, my wife's not going to be happy. She's such a sweet woman, and she's helped me along the way.
She's not like you're strapping in a ring.
No, exactly. So I had already had like maybe a pint or two at this time, and I was, you know, sitting with two of my colleagues. One of them was a supervisor at the time. He was moving to Texas for work, and that's why we ended up going out in the first place. The other was a woman that I worked with, really nice, sweet woman, you know, but right off the top, I'm thinking, man, I would love to step out and fuck this guy up and just shut him up, you know? Like, that would be really cool.
Partially because fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy, you know? But that higher sense of self kicked in, and it was just like, nah. You know, it was like, say whatever you want, man. Like, you're not worth my time. You're not worth the energy. You're certainly not worth jeopardizing all that I've worked very hard to achieve. And not only that, but I'm trying to set a good example, man. It doesn't matter if my son's at home, in bed, asleep, snuggling with mom, whatever. It's like, I am a better person now. And I want to set a good example, even if I'm not in the presence of my family. You know? So I cast it aside, man. I probably entertained it a little too much. You know, I think moving forward, I'm just going to ignore it entirely. But you know, a little bit of wordplay back and forth, you know, a little bit of BS, but, like, I'm a fucking grown man. I'm not calling anybody names. I'm not, you know, pointing out, you know, the flaws of what I see.
It's hey, like, shorty, know, or it, big it,
no, exactly, or yeah. Exactly. And, you know, these guys were just acting fools, man. I mean, they probably did this pretty often. And, like, whatever, dude, if that's what you do, if that's how you get off, then by all means, go for it. But I'm just not in that place anymore, man. But it was conflicting, like I said, as far as who I am on the inside versus who I am on the outside. And I say that loosely because obviously, you know, I'm changing, I'm evolving, it's all one. But there is that, you know, ghetto inner self that at times, you know, makes itself known. And that's cool. You know, I have a lot of love and respect for that part of me because that is arguably one of the many reasons that I'm here to tell this motherfucking story today, you know? But that was a big achievement for me because that was the first time in my life that I did not step to someone who was flapping their gums and talking their shit towards me, you know? It was the one time, man. Countless times, and I mean many dozens of times in the past.
It takes one to start a streak, my man.
It was cool, man. It was a huge accomplishment for me, but it was very conflicting, too. You know, it was definitely something that I needed to sort out, you know, because I wasn't used to that. It's like, all right, what the hell just happened?
You said that hopefully someday it'll go away, and I wanted to call back, but that's a great way to do it, is that you'll still come out of that situation and go, what just happened?
Like, exactly.
What? I was just sitting here innocently having a drink with a friend or two,
man.
And why me?
Absolutely.
Like, yeah.
And honestly,
I don't necessarily get it from the fighting side, but like,
right.
I'm going to use this word loosely. Crazies find me when I'm out in the world.
Like, oh,
you've
yeah.
seen that happen.
Hell yeah.
Like, just stand it. Like, there's a whole line of interesting looking people,
yep.
and they'll pick my happy ass to come
hell
talk
yeah.
to.
Yeah, dude, I am the same way. I can relate, brother, 100%.
Like, why? What just happened?
Yeah, totally.
Yep. So I don't think it'll ever go away, but
no,
you'll get better
cool.
at dealing with it.
Yeah.
Because you've got... You now got a grounding.
I'm proud of how I dealt with it. You know,
I'm proud of you too.
It took a lot of self control, man. Especially after a couple drinks, that was the main thing. Like, dude, when I'm in the sober frame of mind,
way easier to wash it off.
Easy,
yeah.
You know. But in that particular set of circumstances, it was a milestone for me. Not to mention, you know, the people I was with were really impressed. You know, because they. Got
Look
to know me pretty well, you know. They, yeah, exactly. I kept that shit quiet. You know, it's not worth my time, man. But you know, you exercise that kind of self control, and people take notice of that. You know, they keep that in mind. You know, if anything's ever to come up, or who knows, man, I could be reporting to, you know, either one of those individuals that have since relocated, you know, however many years down the road when they come back. I say that because I have no desire to move up within this company, dude. Like, my job is so fucking chill.
Just the right amount of work.
Just the right amount of work, dude. I get paid well enough to just be cool. And I get to listen to music all throughout the fucking day, you know. It's all good. That's it for me. It's like, all right, that's fine. But most of all, they've given me the option to do what I really want to do, which is to be a fucking dad, dude, you know. Right. And that means more to me than, you know, any title or paycheck at this time, you know.
I remember watching you become a dad. It was a kind of immediate change in the look in your eye.
Totally, man.
It flipped you. And people, it's really cliche. When people say, what changed you? You have a kid.
Right.
It's a cliche. But
it is.
Because it's real.
It is.
I know very few people, I can think of zero dedicated parents that I know.
Yeah.
That didn't go through that dramatic change right there. I can think of a few parents I know that didn't go through that change right now, and some of them are dedicated now, some of them just never went through that.
It's not in everyone, unfortunately, you know? And I say unfortunately because, you know, the child is, of course, always paying the ultimate price, but... there are some people who just don't do it like that. They don't parent compassionately. They don't understand or necessarily want to, for that matter. I mean, you know, look at generations past. You know, it's only until relatively recently that we are treating our children the way we treat them today. You know.
Which we'll find in 50 years is still not right.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe so.
If society lasts that long, that's what we're going to find.
Yeah, truly.
But it is, we definitely have made a movement. And understanding so. that people, although they aren't adults, still are people, first off.
Sure.
And the second off, still have emotions and understandings and desires and that when you are an adult, you don't necessarily have all the ability to express that. So when you're not an adult, you should expect that they don't have even less ability to express those things.
Dude, absolutely.
And that's happening. It is good to see.
It is. And I think experience means most everything. You know, I realize that there's science to back a lot of what's being done and what's happening, but to learn as you go is really, in my mind... you know, the finest method of parenting. You know, acknowledging off the top, okay, I'm not perfect. You know, I'm not a perfect human being. I make mistakes. I'm going to mess shit up from time to time. But I'm going to do everything I can to improve myself day to day and be a better person tomorrow, you know. And that's the same type of mentality that I want to pass down, you know. And I'm honest about it, man. My son's not 5 years old, but if I'm grumpy, if I'm... you know, in a mood, if I say something that maybe wasn't warranted or entirely necessary, I'll tell him, dude. You know, I'll tell him, like, hey, I apologize. I said this. This is why I said it. Let's move on, you know? And that's one of the reasons why, you know, at almost 5 years old, you know, we have a few months to go, but he's super intelligent, man. He's, you know... on another level in terms of navigating the world and, you know, his own development and knowledge of random things, you know?
That's all they hold when they're young, just, you know, like, they hold the craziest
it's
information.
Cool. But we speak to him like an adult, man, yeah. You know? We talk to him like he's...
that really matters. Well, and one like of us, said, admitting, you know? That you're human, saying that, well... I know I said this, that wasn't right. I mean, yeah. I did that with my roommate last week.
Shit, yeah, like, dude.
Sorry, I was reactive. That was not good.
This happened, yeah.
This is my problem.
Grab another one of those as totally. Well? Awesome, thanks, man. But yeah, man, I spent a lot of time fighting just to, you know, wrap this whole thing up again. I was telling a very dear friend recently that I'm done fighting, man. Like, I'm so far past that point in my life, you know. I used that as a tool for the longest time to get to where I needed to be. I don't want to be that person anymore. You know, I want to meet all conflicts with love, understanding, and forgiveness, man. Like, that's the person I want to be, because that's the person this world needs right now, you know? But that means a lot to me, just in terms of, you know, where I come from, you know, being able to portray that, you know, to get that out there, because that's on another level of importance, especially right now, you know.
I do agree. The world is not a place where that is really something we need to work on building more.
Absolutely.
As a society. Oh, I mean, and I say that because we have found a way to say that. Like, that has become an understood issue now. Like, we gotta figure that out. Where, you know, even when I was in my early 20s, understanding, acceptance, and, you know, and forgiveness and such were different then. We were getting better then than our parents' generation.
Sure.
And they were better than their parents' generation, you know. But we finally got into a place where we have words that we can start saying, like, this is a conversation we need to have. Not just, like, love your neighbor anymore.
It's
like,
right.
Let's talk more about what love your neighbor means.
Yes. Like, we're not just going to discuss this Sunday morning in the chapel. Like, we actually need to start living this shit. You
all
know,
day, every day, to every neighbor.
Absolutely.
And I think that it has a lot to do with society getting to a point that we can discuss it. Which means, if we can discuss it, we're just barely getting there.
Truly. And it's simple stuff sometimes, man. Like, I used to have road rage. Don't know where it came from. I didn't start out with it, you know. I just kind of evolved into it, you know, based on what I was seeing, what I was experiencing out there. And it took a while for me to realize, like, I'm the asshole, you know. Seriously, I remember the day I came to that realization. It was like, dude, I'm a fucking prick. Like, no wonder I'm having all these problems, dude. And that was it, man. Just like you said, it just takes that one grounding experience to, you know, have the domino effect, to say the least. And sure as shit, man, that's what started it. Like, I no longer feel that I'm in a rush to get to anywhere I need to be. Certainly not in enough of a hurry to be an asshole to anyone else on the road. It's like, dude, if you want to act a fool and treat me that way, that's fine. Like, do whatever you want. Just go past me, motherfucker. I want nothing to
do
with you.
I'll gladly pull over to the right lane so you can go on.
Absolutely.
Past. Have a ball.
Exactly. I'm not going
to go fast enough that you get away from me and I don't have to deal with it.
100%,
awesome.
Dude. Just little things, you know, little improvements that each of us can make day by day that have an outstanding effect on our daily lives, you know?
That's a fucking great place to take you to the next question, which is, what makes you unique?
Oh, man.
Not road raging.
Not road raging, I suppose, would be one of them. I think we're all unique. You know, I don't consider myself any more unique than anyone I've ever known. Anybody, you know, I think we're all weird. We're all strange. We're all different. You know, I think some of us just do a better job of hiding it than others. You know, and in some cases, for good reason.
What do you consider hiding the unique?
I mean, like the...
You begin to draw a picture.
The normal aspect of society, you know, like whatever it means to most people to be normal, you know. Unfortunately, that's about as far as my description
will
go.
Because
like I have no fucking idea what
the
normal
pop
is anymore.
News channel culture. So you listen to the bands they talk about on the evening news. You watch the sporting events they talk about on the evening news.
Exactly.
You understand as much as they give you about the world around you as you can get from the evening news, like that kind of that group of people that try and live that world?
Totally. You know, just like normal. Like, I need to, you know, work from 9 to 5. I need to, you know, go out for drinks on Saturday nights. You know, I need to eat 3 meals a day. You know, whatever. I mean, obviously, stuff that most of us take part in, because a lot of it's good shit that we should participate in.
Eating once in a while is a bad plan.
Yeah, it's a good thing. It's a good deal. But, you know, I think it kind of ties into the, you know, the last question, like, why I am who I am, you know, experiences. I think experience makes me unique. But I'm also at that place in my life where I don't consider myself any more unique or better or further along than anyone else. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, we all have our stories, and every human being on this planet is, you know, taking part in their own story. And I think it's all interesting. I really do. But obviously my life is, you know, a little more fascinating and intriguing just because I have to wake up with myself every morning. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. I mean, kind of fortunately and kind of unfortunately, yes, I do know what
exactly,
you mean.
Exactly, dude. You
if
know?
I got to do this every day, you're kidding me.
Oh, man. I think my devotion to fatherhood is probably what I pride myself on these days, you know? Sometimes in little ways, sometimes in larger ways, you know. I have a tendency to let things fester. If it turns out to be something I want to improve, or, you know, if I'm disappointed in myself for handling a situation in a certain way, you know, it will become a recurring process for me. And I've understood that to be a blessing in terms of having that inner sense of direction, you know? So if I handle a situation at home a certain way, and I'm not happy with the way that I handled it, I will come back to that later in the day before I rest my head. And until I've sorted it out in terms of what I didn't like about it, what I could have done differently, and how I'll do better next time, I'm not done with it. You know, even the smallest things, man, like small stuff, you know, yeah, most people probably
like
wouldn't even
traffic or whatever.
Exactly, you know, like little things at times, but I feel like that's really all it takes. You know, if you're making baby steps day by day, then you're on the right path, you know, whatever that means for any given person.
Right, well, and that is something that's self-defined to a great extent. But I also agree that that is, to some extent, maybe the definition of on the right path. Like, are you just genuinely and frequently trying to be a better person than you were yesterday and assessing the situation you went through and how your behavior affected that situation, how you can make it different? Like, sure. If you're doing all of that, then that kind of is just the definition of being a decent human being.
I agree.
I think. Which, the unfortunate truth is, I don't believe that there's enough decent human beings.
Will there ever be? You know?
Even if we were all decent?
If that's the definition.
That would be enough of them.
Exactly. Yeah.
If every single one of us was decent, I'm not certain that it would be.
Exactly what I was going for, you know? If that's the definition of a decent human being, then we all have work to do.
Yeah,
forever.
And there's some understanding of people around you that should come from that, too, is that your version of trying to be better to the person next to you may be different than the person next to you's version of trying to be decent. And so, like, it's a weird spot, like, where they came from and what they represent and what they're standing up for.
Yeah.
Could show very differently than what you're showing up for, representing. And,
absolutely.
You know, and but trying to remember that they may be doing their damn best to be the best person they can, too. And, you know, kind of fuck that guy.
That's very important.
But
yeah. No, that's very important, though. You make a great point, is you never really know what's going on in someone else's mind. And yeah. That's something I carry with me every day. I don't care if you are an asshole when I'm trying to check out at, you know, the grocery store. Like, I'm going to have a positive impact on your day, whether you like it or not, motherfucker. You know?
Yeah.
Like, that's it. You know, I'm never going to even put myself in the position of trying to judge other people based on what they're going through. You know? In some cases, everybody's got something they're dealing with. And that comes out in different ways.
Everybody's been through some shit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everybody has.
And I feel like, as a society, if we can begin to understand that and come to those conclusions as individuals, then, you know, again, we're moving in the right direction.
We are moving in the right direction. We should have moved faster.
Yeah.
Like, can we just get there? That'd be awesome.
I know.
We just find the next level.
Yo, maybe that's the point, though. Maybe we're not supposed to get there, collectively speaking. You know, maybe we are supposed to continue working towards it. And that's why we have all these conflicts day to day, is because that's what we're here to do. That's it. I mean,
there's
it's
a next
hard to
change
say.
After this change.
Absolutely. It's
that's
like you
like,
said,
if you
know,
look at
it's
any history. And I mean history of the planet, not history of humans.
Right.
If you look at any history, there's a next change.
There's something coming down the way.
Which, that may have put into a frightening context, because
a little bit.
If you look at the history of the planet,
yeah,
there was a last dominant species.
Yeah.
Like, everything leads toward there's probably a next dominant species.
I feel like you're implying that we could all be obliterated at any time, and that's fine. Like, I'm willing to accept that, because I agree with you, you know what I mean? There's no guarantee that we're going to wake up tomorrow morning, you know? Shit, man, every day is a blessing.
I hope you wake up in time to see the bright light of the asteroid that hit or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, no kidding, man. Let me enjoy one more breakfast and let come what may, you know?
Let me pour a drink and light a joint for this last moment, because we're all going out right now.
Oh, man.
So, the next question is, and it's kind of a question, but will you tell me about a defining moment? Lighter out in the reach.
Oh, yeah. Dick move. I'm very sorry.
I get you your own if you want.
A defining moment in my life. There have been many.
We've already talked about a handful.
We have, yeah. And
try and pick a different one.
It's such a difficult question to answer, because I feel like there are so many throughout every day of my life, you know? Again, sometimes it's the little things, you know, the subtleties in life that are most defining in some cases, you know. One in particular, and I'm really thinking on this.
Tell you what, I'm going to give you a second. Oh, success. Press the right button again. Your defining moment.
So, keep it current. I'm just going to go back to a little something I said previously for my defining moment, and that's that I recently began speaking with my mom again, you know?
Whoa.
Yeah, and that's not because I wanted to, you know? It's not anything that I ever planned on doing. I was pretty much set in, you know, the sense of never wanting to ever have any contact with her again, but I decided to make that happen, mostly because I was able to maybe understand things from her perspective. Not entirely, of course, but those questions begin to arise. You know? Like, what would I do if not one of my kids ever wanted to speak with me again?
So all of her kids just split from the life?
Nobody. Yeah, my two younger siblings have virtually nothing to do with her.
All of the kids have just gone.
Exactly. I mean, it's necessary at times, but for me, it came to that point where it was like, hey, I'm thinking and I'm speaking about all these things, like love and forgiveness and understanding, and yet I am, you know, shutting down this aspect of my life that's obviously not pleasant. I don't really care to revisit it, but this could potentially be hurting somebody. And that's what really matters, is that, you know, what I'm choosing to do may very well have an adverse effect on someone else's daily life, you know. So I decided to take it upon myself to, you know, begin speaking with her again, you know, after a little bit of back and forth.
Did you make the first call?
No, it was back and forth a little bit. Well, let me backtrack here. I never really stopped speaking with her. I would send her messages online. I would send her pictures of Tyrus. You know, I would do little bits here and there just to try and keep her in tune. But just recently, we picked up the phone. She called me. I called her back. You know, the whole phone tag thing. As it
who picks up
goes.
The phone nowadays?
Exactly.
Other than when they don't put it down. I mean, different things.
Another thing. I have a no phone policy. Like, when I'm with my son, I'm not on my fucking phone. I'm not on Google. I'm not texting. I'm not doing any damn thing, because nothing is more important than what I'm doing with my son. So, if I'm with my son, unless it's business that absolutely has to be handled, like dialing down his insurance, for example, then leave a fucking message. Like, we can do this at a later time, you know? But with that being said, I'm very difficult to get in touch with these days, just because, like, you'll send me a text, and it may be 2, 3, 4 days, maybe a couple weeks by the time I get back to you, you know, it's how it is, you know, but,
The trick I do is I leave it unread until I'm ready to respond.
There you go.
That's what I do.
That's not a bad idea.
But, sorry to anybody that I haven't gotten back to recently.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just the real reality of it. Like, shit was going on. I didn't have space yet.
It's still unread. Don't worry about it.
Answer that question when I can.
But
so, yeah.
You know, I think that's probably maybe not a defining moment in particular, but definitely a defining set of circumstances, and of course something that is relatively recent. This has only been happening for, I don't know, half a year or so now, but it's interesting.
It's been on for half a year.
It has. It's infrequent. You know, maybe once a month or so, and I'll, you know, get her on the line and have Ty speak with her, and, you know, he knows who she is and where she lives and all this stuff. He retains information very well. But, you know, it's so interesting because initially I thought I was doing this for her, you know. Man, this is the right thing to do. Like, being there and just speaking with her, you know, and it was over time that I realized that I'm healing from this, you know, to be able to take all of that pain and hatred and lack of anything, any feeling, you know, and turn it into something positive, and to just discard that shit entirely, dude, and reach out and just be the person I know I am has been huge for me. And it's been very healing. You know, there's a lot of healing to occur, and that's okay. I feel like everybody and their moms can, you know, relate. But it's so interesting how, you know, some of the negativity we hold on to as human beings when we feel it's, you know, on someone else or someone else is to blame or whatever else, you know, we're really self-inflicting, you know, and there's a lot of that going around, you know, and it ties into so many of the things we've discussed thus far, which is why I'm happy to bring it up, but just to remove that negativity entirely and just say, fuck it. I'm going to do the right thing regardless of what this person did to me. And that's been huge for me. Very healing. Very wild.
And I have to say, so I asked this question of everybody on their first trip, right? That's a really touching one, partially because of the similarity of your life to my kid's life.
Sure.
But partially because of where you've gotten with it. That I think it's the most current defining moment I've been given.
Sure.
Because it is, I think, partway through you questioned yourself. Like, I don't know if it's a defining moment yet, is kind of what you said. But yeah. I would argue that it's definitely a defining moment. Like, the moment you made that decision to start that communication back up was a defining moment.
Okay, I got it. And that would be...
And that makes it really cool. What makes it even cooler is that it's continuing to be a defining moment.
Like, absolutely.
No matter what happens tomorrow, the fact that you made that decision is going to define you in the future as well.
Same effect.
And I think that's really cool because it shows that role effect of I made a fucking decision to be a decent person again. And for whatever reasons around it in years.
Yeah.
I that is a really cool answer, man.
Thanks, man.
That is a really cool answer.
Thank you. Question. And I appreciate you clarifying that, too, because you're right. You know, making that decision was the defining moment. In my mind, it's been a defining series of moments, you know, as we go along. But you're absolutely right. It was that one moment, just as we've discussed a number of times thus far, you know, that has led to growth, and, you know, and it's cool. It's hard as hell sometimes, but...
Especially that particular step. For you as an individual.
Yeah.
Like, that's a huge, huge step.
No doubt.
And coming to the realization that it's partially to heal you. Or maybe, I mean, who knows how it's going to end up. It may be exclusively to heal you. Who knows?
It may be.
It's definitely to help. It's helping you in your relationship with your son, I guarantee you, whether you see it right now or not.
No doubt.
But it's going to help you in that, too. Oh, I'm fucking proud of you for that one, young man.
Thanks,
good
man.
Job.
Thanks, that's buddy. A really that means good a one. Lot.
That's
Thank
a
you.
Really good one.
It's important stuff. You know, it really is. The world needs more perspective and understanding and a hell of a lot more forgiveness, you know.
Yeah, I do. It's hard.
It is.
Even, I mean, like, it's hard for me to give. It's hard for me to receive.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to look at the world and what they're doing with it. It's just a big ball of hard.
It is.
But. But.
Yeah. I agree.
All right, I'm going to move on to the last question. So earlier I asked you what makes you unique, right?
Yeah.
Well, the follow-up question to that is, what makes you similar to other people?
Thank you.
Yeah, of course. This thing says Las Vegas on it to begin with. You know it's a gamble going
yeah,
in.
Yeah, no shit, huh?
It's just the podcast table bottle openers,
oh
man.
He said, I just want to fuck with people.
I think it was given to me at a festival, and I was like, I just need a podcast table bottle opener.
No shit, man.
Yeah.
What makes me similar to other people? I think... a lot of the really... instinctual or elementary aspects of human life, you know, the need for, you know, acceptance and, again, understanding, you know, perspective, a lot of the very same things we've discussed, you know, the desire for growth and maybe not better times, but less conflicting times, you know. A lot of really basic principles that I think a lot of us probably hope for or desire or, you know, wish to at some point obtain. I think that's probably what makes me similar to most everyone else I know or encounter or
The shared desire to have shit just be easier. Just to paraphrase it all.
Exactly.
Like, is that kind of what you're thinking?
Yeah, just to live a good life, you know? And my life is incredible. I'm truly blessed. There are always going to be those conflicts, you know? And it's just a matter of navigating them with as much positivity and clarity as we can. It's, of course, easier said than done. But I think that's probably going to be how I'm most similar to other people. And you know me, like, people are not always so accepting of who I am simply based on how I appear to them.
Right.
You know, I mean, there are some people.
I'm glad to see you wearing plugs in those big holes in your ears again.
Yeah,
it makes me
happy. Exactly.
Although I bet they jangle on the phone at work.
It happens, man. You know, I've got. Yeah, I've got the scar under my right eye.
Yeah, your permanent black eye.
Exactly, you know.
I have to remember every time I saw you, no, he didn't just get out of a fight.
Exactly, yeah. It's not uncommon for people to look at me and just quickly move on, you know. I can see it in their face. They want absolutely nothing to do with me, you know. And it's not, like, every day. You know, but any given outing,
you've covered up a lot of the rest of it. Like, the rest of you looks like
true.
A person that you'd run into anywhere.
Especially
here. You know,
here.
You don't look like, in your youth, you look more aggressive.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
You're just left with these few things that really aren't, and shouldn't be, things.
Products of my adolescence, man.
Yeah.
Truly.
Right?
But I don't take it personally. You know, it's just one of those things, man. You know, some people are set in their ways, and, you know, we do our best, in most cases, I hope, to not judge others, but at the same time, it's human nature to judge others and everything around us, for that matter.
It's nature in general.
Exactly.
I mean,
you have
I'm
to.
Always
it's instinctual.
Judge, saying,
you know?
Judge or be judged, because make a judgment as to, is that a life threat or not?
Right.
Is why
absolutely.
All animals survive.
Instinctual.
Yeah.
Really. Yeah. So, you know, it's just one of those things. It's cool. It bothered me for a while, but it's really no longer an issue because I'm cool, man. You know, I treat others with respect regardless of, you know, having received it first or any trifling shit like that. You know what I mean? I'm always willing to give other people the benefit of the doubt, you know, and give them my love and respect, so on and so forth. But at the same time, fuck what anybody else thinks. You know what I mean? This world is way too big to give a shit. Like, the only opinions that really matter in my life are that of my family, you know, my wife, my son, my beloved friends, you know. And as long as I'm in good graces with, you know, the people that I consider family, you know, yourself included, man, you know,
yeah,
I don't...
Well, my crew.
I don't really have...
Totally.
Yeah, it's like, you know, like... I don't know, man. I don't really have friends, you know? I keep it tight-knit, dude. Like, you're either, like, family, we're crew,
I just
see you when I'm getting the latte at work, you know? Exactly,
exactly.
Dude. It's like, hey, you know, people at work, obviously, you know, especially higher ups and, you know, suits and all that. Obviously, you want to create...
Well, that's a different relationship, though.
Good, lasting impressions, but correct, it is. And I... to some extent, believe that, you know, in some cases, you know, the relationships that you have in business are not to be taken personally, you know, and to be left without emotion, so to speak. You know, I am totally down to have a solid conversation and laugh it up and have a good time, but at the same time, like, I understand that shit has to get done. Like, there are things that
and
will need to happen. And it's
yeah.
a work relationship. Like, this is not something that I am going to take home and lose sleep over. It's not personal.
And the way I short-shirt that one for myself is like, just keep your dick out of the office. Like,
no
just
shit.
Don't get too attached to anything in the office.
Absolutely.
And just leave it there. And that's not just a sexual thing. That's just
dude,
in general.
No,
just
100%.
Don't bring the dick to the office.
Yeah.
And you'll be okay.
Yeah, exactly. Just be cool.
Yeah.
You know? I agree. But, yeah, there are, you know, certain relationships and, you know, people that I care for that obviously, you know, that's my... goal. You know, is to maintain those relationships and to keep everything, you know, healthy and content, you know, for all
right.
involved. And, it's served me well, you know, because I'm easy to befriend. I mean, I'm cool.
Like, actually,
I'll get along
even
with anybody,
you
know.
You were easy
yeah,
to befriend.
Yeah, totally. And that's still the case, you know. I don't have a whole lot of contact with my... you know, my boss or anyone at work for that matter, because I'm not there that often. I generally just go in and do my own thing and I leave, which is honestly how I prefer
it. Best part of a job sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, still, the people that I surround myself with by choice or otherwise, you know, I try and, you know, just be mindful of how everything's taken in.
Again, I'll say you have done an amazing job becoming the man you are, man.
Thank you, man.
From the kid that I met to the man that you are.
I know,
it's
crazy.
A long journey, but you've done a bang-up job. I'm proud of you.
Thank you. That means a lot, man.
On that note, I'm getting sappy, so I'm going to say thank you for doing this with me. And I'm going to hit the stop button. And, then,
right,
and then I can be sappy off.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. No one ever know.
Right? We'll only record the good stuff.
Yep.
Thanks, man.
Hell yeah, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.